hands up and saying, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, repent on me. Ya Allah, accept from me. Ya Allah, use me for the deen. Ya Allah, guide me to the religion. Allah loves those ones. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Ghafir, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah azza wa jalla said to His servants, ask me, and I should reply back to you. Ask, put your hands up, and I should reply back to you. And that's why a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, Ya Rasulallah, أَقَرِيبٌ اللَّهُ فَنُنَاجِيهِ أَمْ بَعِيدٌ فَنُنَادِيهِ. O Prophet of Allah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far away from us that we need to call Him when we want to ask anything from Him? Or is He close to us that we just need to whisper to Him? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَاعَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. That when my servants ask you about me, Muhammad, inform them that I'm close to them. I answer and reply back to the supplication of my servants. Oh Muhammad, is Allah far away from us to call Him, or is He close to us that we whisper to Him? So Allah Azza wa Jalla said that He is close. Put your hands up and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time ask Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why it's narrated at dua mukhul ibadah, that the supplication, the dua, it's the most essential thing. It's the brains of the worship. Because you've been a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loves to see His servants supplicating and humbling themselves to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the essential thing of being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the essential thing of being a abd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not reject anyone. No matter what He asked Allah Azza wa Jal, especially when it's through asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said Himself, O my servant, come back to me, I will never reject you. If you come back to me with this whole world full of sins, I'll come back to you with this whole world full of mercy. Especially when you ask forgiveness from Allah, Allah will never reject. Especially when you repent to Allah, and that's a topic that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, and this is our third week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reject anyone. If you leave the haram and going back to Allah, because we said the meaning of the word repentance, tawbah, means going back to Allah and returning back to Allah after being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you go back to Allah after you've left Allah, Allah will never reject you. No matter what you've done, and I've said this for the last 3 lessons, yes, no matter what sin you've committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still accept you as being a servant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still accept you to be one of His ibadillah. No matter what you've done, just go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've said that Allah azza wa jalla not only will accept you back, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you, وَيُبَدِّلُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ, that He will exchange your bad deeds into good deeds. He'll exchange your bad deeds into good deeds. After being bad deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change it all, will be a good deed. And Allah azza wa jal will wipe your record, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let your hands or your organs that committed the sin to witness against you in the day of judgment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ أو بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Fussilat, where Allah says that day, in a day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your tongue and make your hand and make your feet and make all your body organs witness against you in front of Allah, saying, Ya Allah, He had committed that sin and He committed that sin. But when you repent back to Allah azza wa jal, Allah will make this organ forget that. That you face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clean record. You face Allah azza wa jal with a clean record. Look how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And something, subhanallah, I said last week, that look how Allah, how beautiful Allah azza wa jal is, that He created us, and created everything for us, and He gave us all this, and at the end we used all that against Him. And subhanallah, one verse I've been thinking over for the last month, every time I think of it, just hits my heart. Inna Allah azza wa jal says in the Quran, that if Allah wanted to be just, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to treat us justly, Allah Azza wa Jal would have punished us from the first moment we do a haram. Allah Azza wa Jal would have took us away from this world from the second that we do haram. And subhanAllah, in a day of judgment, look how beautiful Allah Azza wa Jal is. In a day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call to the fire of hell. With these two disobedient Muslims will be drowning in that fire of hell and getting punished in that fire of hell. So Allah Azza wa Jal will say, how did you find your house that you built, the fire of hell? How did you find your ending in that fire of hell? How did you find this? So Allah Azza wa Jal takes him out and asks him, how did you find this? So they start to cry back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal will tell them, I ordered you to do the good so you end up in the paradise. And I ordered you not to go any the bad so you then end up in the fire of hell. So Allah Azza wa Jal will say again, go back to the fire of hell. So one of those two will run back to the fire of hell. And the other one will stand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the first one that ran to the fire of hell. Will ask him, oh my servant, what made you run to the fire of hell? So he'll say to Allah, ya Allah, I was disobedient for you in the dunya, in the life. I don't want to be disobedient to you in the hereafter. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will ask the other one, what made you pause? What made you not get to the fire of hell like the first one? So he'll say, ya Allah, I had good thoughts about you, ya Allah. They never returned me back after you took me away. So Allah Azza wa Jal told him, go both of you to the paradise. Go both of you to the paradise. عَصَيْتُكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَلَا أَعْصِيكَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ I was disobedient to you in this life. I don't want to be disobedient to you in the hereafter. So Allah, so he ran to the fire of hell. The other one said, ya Allah, after you took me out, I had good thoughts that you're not bringing me back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put both of them in the paradise. And one of the salihin, Malik ibn Dinar, he saw one of the pious people, one of his pious teachers in a dream. So he asked him, how did you find death? So he told him that I found death, hardships, and fire of hell, and earthquakes. So he told him, then what happened? He said, then what do you expect from the generous one? Allah Azza wa Jal. What do you expect from the Kareem? He accepted our hasanat and he wiped our sayyat and let us enter the paradise. That's how generous Allah Azza wa Jal is. That's how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That Allah Azza wa Jal will not uncover our sins in this world. And in the hereafter, Allah Azza wa Jal will cover all for us in the hereafter. And I mentioned this, how a person will stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Day of Judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, oh my servant, you done this and you done that at this night. And you thought no one was watching you. So the servant will start looking around, scared that Allah Azza wa Jal had uncovered his sins in front of everyone. So Allah Azza wa Jal will tell him, calm down. I've covered it for you in your life. And I'll cover it for you today. I'm going to grant you paradise. Go to the paradise. That's how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And all this should go back to repentance. Repent and repent and repent. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said, Wallahi inni la atubu ila Allah fil yawmi akthar min mi'ati marra. Wallahi, I repent and I am the Prophet of Allah. I repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a day more than 100 times. But the Prophet doesn't commit sins. No, he doesn't. But he's teaching us to all the time, renew our repentance, renew our repentance, renew our repentance. And a few of the issues I wanted to talk about today that a lot of people say, okay, a major question that people say, yes, okay, I know that repentance are three conditions. If it's concerning, if it's an issue between you and Allah. But if it's an issue between you and a human being, there's a fourth condition. The first three main conditions that al-iqla' an them, that you're staying away from the sin. The second condition is that you feel guilty and sorrow of what you've done. The third condition is that you promise Allah resolution that you never go back to this sin. And if it's concerning another human being, you have to give the rights back to him. If you stole something from him, return it back to him. If you swore at him or backbited him, ask apology from him. A lot of people ask that question. I've repented, then I fell into the sin. A major question. Last week, when I spoke about that lesson, over 10 brothers approached me and asked me that question. I've repented and I fell back into that sin. We will tell you, brother, your first repentance wasn't a repentance for you to fall into it the second time. You did not repent. And then ask that question, I've repented the first time I fell. You did not repent from the beginning. Why? Because part of repentance that you never go back to it. But you did go back to it. That means you did not repent from the beginning. That means you have to repent properly this time that you don't fall into it. You have to repent properly this time that you do not fall into it. And don't say to yourself, I've repented. I've committed that sin. I've repented. Then I went back to it. If you did go back to it, that means you did not repent the first time. That means you establish your repentance on something that does not exist. Because part of repentance, as we said, is you promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you never go back to it, but you did go back to it. That means you did not repent. You did not repent. You established your repentance on something that does not exist. Like you've got an expiry bank card. You try and work, it doesn't work. It's expired. Same thing, your repentance wasn't there. You have to renew your repentance. And that's why, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, Wallahi, I repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a day more than 100 times, this to teach us, all the time renew your repentance. All the time renew your repentance. No matter what, even if you repented, a great repentance. Where Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. In Surah Al-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all those believers, repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla. A good repentance. He called it tawbatan nasuha. A good repentance. A real repentance. And a real repentance, as we said, is never go back to that sin. And one of the scholars said, is never go back to the sin. Is like when a milk is coming out of a breast, doesn't go back to it. That's it. And that's how repentance never go back to it. It's impossible for me. It's impossible for me to go back to the to the haram. That's what a real repentance is. And a real repentance is like what a man came at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A man comes into the mosque and he says, Astaghfirullah al-Azim wa atubu ilay. I ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I repent to him. The car. Please remove your car. Jazakallah khair. A repentance, a great repentance, as we said, is 100% repentance, like how Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was at the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and an Arabian comes in, and he says, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilay. I ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent to him. So Ali ibn Abi Talib looks at him and tells him, did you repent? He said, yes, I repented. So Ali ibn Abi Talib tells him, asking forgiveness by your tongue and just talking an action from the heart is that repentance of the liars, of the hypocrites. But a real repentance is that you promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib. A real repentance is that you promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you never ever ever go to that sin the way you hate to be thrown in the fire of hell. See how much of us hate to be thrown in the fire of hell? That's how it's got to be in your heart, that I hate to be go back to that sin. The same way I hate to be thrown in a fire of hell. The second thing is, you cry for the sins that you've done. You cry for the sins that you've done. Because that sin, when you committed that sin, you had that sin so small in your eyes. Which indicates that you had Allah Azza wa Jalla so small in your eyes. Because it's an order from Rabbil Alameen. No matter what order comes from Allah, because Allah, He is great. His orders are great. But when you committed that sin, no matter how small that sin is or how big that sin is, by you falling into that sin, you looked down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by taking Allah's words so small. You're grating the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the scholars all the time say that no matter what the sin is, because it's forbidden by Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one that ordered us to abstain away from it. This sin has got to be in my eyes so great. Why? Because it was ordered by a great one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to have the sins great in my eyes. And that's why the scholars describe a hypocrite is that person that sees the sins are small. Khalas, I'll do it. It's small. It's small. It's small. No, there's no small sins. There is the minor sins, which I'll describe, but in your eyes, you should all the time have the small or the minor sins are something big, so you never fall into it. You never fall into it. And the other thing that Ali ibn Abi Talib said is to leave the bad influence of the people. If you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you never sit in a gathering of people being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you really love Allah azza wa jal and respect the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you never put yourself in a gathering of people disrespecting Allah's words and Allah azza wa jal. You can't see this. A real believer, if you really, really repent from your heart and you are a really believer, you see some haram in front of you, you can't. You can't sit in any gathering of that. You can't sit in any gathering of that. And the other thing that Ali ibn Abi Talib said is to feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to accept your repentance. لازم يكون في الخوف, which the scholars call khawf. The fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to accept my repentance. So it makes you more enthusiasm to repent again to Allah Azza wa Jal. All the time have that in your heart, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reject my repentance. So it makes you more enthusiasm, motivates you more to repent more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask more forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. And at the same time, should have a raja. Raja is having that feeling that Allah will also accept my repentance. Khawf wa raja. I said this also last week. And this is from the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib, where he says, have in your heart that Allah is going to accept my repentance and is going to reject my repentance. When you have in your heart that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to reject my repentance, makes you want to do more. When you have in your heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you have in your heart that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to reject your repentance, makes you feel that you did not do enough, so you do more. When you have in your heart that Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept your repentance, motivates you to do extra on that more. So that's what a real repentance is. A real repentance is. And another issue that I would like to talk about today, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put a lot of penalties on a lot of haram. That if someone commits adultery, 100 slashes, or stoned to death if he's been married or ever been married in his life. But if he's been bachelor, just 100 slashes, okay? And that's a penalty from Rabbil Alameen. Someone commits theft, cut his hand. Someone kills someone, okay? The person that's been killed, his parents or his family, they've got the right to kill him. These are all penalties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the Quran. Now, if someone does commit, for example, he committed theft, or someone drank alcohol, the penalty that's put in Islam, it's 100 slashes for someone that drinks wine, alcohol. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us from this hadith where a man comes to him and tells him, "Oh Prophet Allah, I've committed a sin." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns away from that man and prays salat al-jama'ah, congregational prayer, the group prayer. And after the group prayer finished, that man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again and tells him, "Oh Prophet Allah, I've committed a sin." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, "This prayer, by you praying this prayer, Allah Azza wa Jalla had forgave your sins." And another hadith where Safwan comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dragging a thief and tells him, "Oh Prophet Allah, this man stole this and that from me. So practice the penalty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his hand," yani cut his hand. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, there's a government, and this is a judge, and it needs a judge, and the Prophet ﷺ was a judge. He prepared, okay, he looked into the case, yes, this man stole this and he stole that, that means his hand's got to be chopped. His hand's got to be cut. Later on, Safwan comes to the Prophet ﷺ and tells him, "Oh Prophet Allah, forgive him. I'll let him go." So the Prophet ﷺ told him, "Why didn't you come to me before you brought him? Why didn't you tell me this before you brought him to me?" Which I want to come to, if someone commits a sin, and this sin is between him and Allah Azza wa Jal, if this person repents and fully repents to Allah Azza wa Jal, then there's no need for him to go to the judge. So he could get. There's no need for him to go to the judge and get through the judgment of Islam and the penalties of Islam. For example, someone drank wine. Okay, Islamically, 100 slashes. Islamically, 40 slashes. This man, if he repents from his heart, don't go to the judge. Keep this between you and Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive your sins. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Safwan, "Why didn't you bring him to me? Why didn't you tell me this before you brought him to me? If he told me this, would have let him go. But after he faced the court, the Islamic courtroom, that's it. The penalties have to be established. But if he keeps that between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla should forgive him. Like for example, someone committed adultery. For someone that commits adultery, it's turned to death. If this person repents between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then keep it between him and Allah Azza wa Jal, and don't go to the court. If you do go to the court, then the Islamic penalty is got to be established on him. If he doesn't and he repents between him and Allah Azza wa Jal, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise that he'll forgive. And that's why when Ma'iz came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, O Prophet Allah, I've committed adultery. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, لَعَلَّكَ قَبَّلْتَ أَوْ لَامَسْتْ. Maybe you've just kissed, or maybe you just touched. So he told him, O Prophet Allah, I've committed adultery. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَلَّكَ نَعَانَقْتَ أَوْ لَعَلَّكَ نَظَرْتْ. Maybe you just looked, or maybe you just hugged. Maybe you just touched. And the Prophet, and he repeats again to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers him in a way, telling him, yalla, go, just go, keep it between you and Allah azza wa jal, keep it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until he said, oh Prophet Allah, I've done this and I've done that. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you get your penalty, you get your penalty. After any haram, after any crime that's been committed, and it goes through the courtroom, the Islamic courtroom, that's it. The penalties have to be done. The penalties have to go. But if he keeps that between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before he comes to the courtroom, the Islamic courtroom, then Allah azza wa jalla will forgive his sins. Only when it's to do with a third party, okay, which is the human being. Only if you've killed someone, or only if you stabbed someone, you, for Allah azza wa jalla to accept your repentance fully, you can't keep that between you and Allah, because the other things like adultery, theft is just a good that you return back, not praying, not fasting, all this, okay, also like fornication, all this is sins to deal between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could keep that between you and Allah azza wa jalla, and Allah azza wa jalla should forgive you. But when it's a crime to deal with other people, killing someone, stabbing someone, cutting a hand of someone, then for Allah Azza wa Jalla to accept your repentance fully, it's got to go through to the Islamic courtroom. It's got to go through the court, the Islamic court, where the rights of the victim is given back to him. The rights is got to be given back to him. And subhanAllah, like, there's a lot of questions that I'll get a lot of time, especially when I talk about repentance. A lot of people would like to ask a lot of questions concerning repentance, and maybe a lot of people went through things that others did not go through, and they want to know exactly, okay, how did they repent back to Allah. And that's why I said to myself, inshallah, after I finish, I'll leave questions and answers. I'll leave questions from the brothers, whoever wants to ask a question concerning the repentance. Okay, let's restrict the topic about repentance, because every Thursday night we've got question and answers concerning the topic or out of the topic. And subhanAllah, yani, especially now we're talking on Thursday night, we're talking about the wudu. And how Allah Azza wa Jalla described, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Like Mondays we've been talking about tawbah, which is the purification of the heart. And Thursday we've been talking about the wudu and the ghusl, which is the purification of the organs. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. That Allah Azza wa Jal loves those ones that repent from their heart, and loves those ones they clean, purification from the outside and the organs. And subhanAllah, I'll leave you with the last story of Ka'b ibn Malik ibn Ka'b. And this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just mentioned a verse of that in Surah At-Tawbah. There's a verse in the Quran, there's a surah in the Quran in the 10th chapter. It's called Surah At-Tawbah. And Surah At-Tawbah is mainly because of three companions that did not attend the fighting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not attend the jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he went in Tabuk. Now Tabuk is one of the battles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought in. And Tabuk came in a time of hardships. Came in a time of harvesting the palm trees and the dates. That was the time of Ghazwat Tabuk, the battle of Tabuk. And it was a time of drought too. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to go and fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Islamically, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls for jihad, no one has got the right to go back or back out from the jihad. Every single person is obligated on him to get jihad, unless those ones that have got excuses of them being blind, sick, old, them having family, parents. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced the jihad to everyone to go in a battle of Tabuk. So everyone went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam except 83 people. One of those three people was Marara, Hilal, and Ka'b. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Tabuk. During Tabuk, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the battle or during the having the troops around him, he used to look around, and if he sees any of the Sahaba that's missing, he'll ask about him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about Ka'b ibn Malik. And Ka'b ibn Malik did not get to jihad, not because he's got an excuse, he did not have no excuse. And that's what Ka'b ibn Malik narrates in the hadith that's narrated by Bukhari, Imam Bukhari and Muslim. He narrates in the hadith where he says, "Wallahi, I was in the best condition, I've never been more better condition than the time of Tabuk. I was in the best condition. I had two horses, I've never had two horses in my life. I had, you know, I had the farms, I never had farms in my life. But what made him not to go is just laziness. Made him not to go. Like made him back out from the jihad with the Prophet ﷺ. And while the Prophet ﷺ was in Tabuk, he looked around and he said, "Where's Ka'b ibn Malik?" So one of the Sahaba said, he's probably wants to have comfort and luxury in his house. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, "La wallahi, Prophet Allah, all I know about Ka'b ibn Malik is a good man. And only does good." So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from the battle, came back from the jihad, the first thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to all the time do is attend the mosque, pray in the mosque, and then sit down and then wait for all the Sahaba that did not come with him to jihad to come and make salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, welcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask him, "What was your excuse of not attending the jihad?" And Ka'b ibn Malik said that while the Prophet ﷺ was in the jihad, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to look around, he used to only see the hypocrites around. He used to only see the hypocrites around, because the hypocrites used to be no one, but the Prophet ﷺ never used to do anything about them. Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, how can I do something to those hypocrites by me killing them or chopping their heads off? What would people start saying? Muhammad killing his own people. So the Prophet ﷺ used to let them go. But they used to be one known. They used to have the own gathering and people used to know them. They were hypocrites. From the way they used to act, from them not attending the jama'ah, from them not praying fajr, from them, you know, all the time backbiting, slandering, talking bad about the Prophet ﷺ. So Ka'b said that during that moment when the Prophet ﷺ was in a battlefield, I used to look around from those 80 people, I used to only see the hypocrites, only two people, Marara and Hilal. So, the Prophet ﷺ arrived to Medina, and here he is in the mosque. Everyone came to the Prophet ﷺ to welcome the Prophet ﷺ, and with full of lies of excuses. Excuses full of lies, just coming to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet asked him, "Why didn't you come?" "Wallah, Prophet, Allah was sick. I had this, I had that. Except those three companions, Ka'b ibn Malik, Hilal ibn Umayyah, and Marara. They were thinking halfway to the mosque, halfway during the walk to the mosque, they were thinking of lies to make up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because they had sincerity in their hearts, they said, "Subhanahu, if we're going to lie at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can't lie Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jalla disgraces even in the Quran, Allah will send a verse. Because a lot of times Sahaba might come and say wrong things and Allah azza wa jalla will talk about this person in the Quran. Not directly, Allah will never mention a name, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that act in the Quran and people will notice that." So the Sahaba used to get scared and Allah Azza wa Jal, "La'allahu yuhya bihadha wahi," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal something on my that I've done this and that. So Ka'b ibn Malik, Hilal and Marara, when they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went like the other ones. They came with the lies and lies, the lie to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with excuses and excuses. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, he used to accept and say, "Allahumma ighfir lahum," "Ya Allah, forgive them." And he used to say, "Ya Allah, I keep what's concealed in their hearts to you." So when Ka'b ibn Malik arrived to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, made salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me the smile of an angry man." So he knew there's something from behind this. He sat down, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Oh Ka'b, what was your excuse not attending jihad?" So he told him, "Oh Prophet Allah, if you want me to make lies, wallahi, I've got a good time of making lies. But wallahi, oh Prophet Allah, nothing. I've got no excuse. Wallahi, I've never been more better and comfortable in my life than this moment of the moment of Tabuk. And I've got no excuses. So the Prophet ﷺ looks at him and tells him, just go until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals something. So he went. And then Ka'b ibn Malik asked, was there anyone else? So they said was Hilal and Marara, the other two men that did not lie to the Prophet ﷺ. And they were honest. They were honest with the excuse. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the Sahaba to isolate these three men, not to talk to them, to punish them, like to teach them a good lesson, and to teach everyone else that whoever does not turn up for jihad when it's called for, that's what happens to you. So for 40 days, the Sahaba isolated these three men. None of them will talk to them. No one will even look at them. None of them will give salam to them. That Ka'b ibn Malik said that, wallahi, sometimes I enter the mosque and I give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I don't know, did his lips move or not? Yani everyone was ignoring him and asking him. Why? Because it's a big sin. And Ka'b ibn Malik was saying, he's narrating the story and saying that he was crying the nights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking, Ya Allah, forgive me for what I've done. Ya Allah, forgive me for what I've done. After the 40th day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends a man and tells Ka'b ibn Malik and Hilal and Marara to isolate their wives. Let the wives leave them. Command more punishment. So Ka'b ibn Malik goes to his wife and tells him, go back to your parents. Go back to your parents' house until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends something. And same thing with Hilal. And same thing with Marara. But Hilal's wife, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, oh Prophet Allah, Hilal is an old man. If I'm not going to take care of him, no one will. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed her to stay with Hilal. Until the 50th day, where Ka'b ibn Malik described that was one of the worst days in his life, where everyone just ignoring him, walking in the streets of Medina and the markets of Medina, just everyone not giving, no one is giving a salam to him and no one is looking at him. Even attending the prayer, people just give him dirties. Why? Because he done something wrong. And he's saying that he was crying to Allah Azza wa Jal, asking the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until the 50th day, As-Salat al-Fajr, Ka'b ibn Malik narrates that a man comes and calls from behind the walls, Ya Ka'b, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed your repentance in the Quran and accepted your repentance and those other two. So Ka'b got so happy that he had a cloth on him that he gave it to that person that came to him and gave him that good news. I ran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy. And all the Sahaba were more happy to see that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted the repentance of those three men. Where everyone was approaching them after that, everyone was ignoring them. Everyone was coming up to them, hugging them, and still them, Hani'an laka ya akhi. Congratulations, oh brother. Congratulations for the good news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed. We are happy for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepting your repentance. Oh brother, oh brother. And Ka'b ibn Malik goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also happy, smiling when he saw Ka'b ibn Malik. And he tells him, oh Ka'b, be happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted your repentance. And Ka'b ibn Malik says, oh Prophet Allah, I promised Allah that if he accepts my repentance, I'm going to donate all my money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his wisdom, told Ka'b, oh Ka'b, keep a portion of your money, keep a share of your money, keep the rest in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this in the Quran where he says, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا دَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ وَلَّوْا مُدْبِرِينَ ثُمَّ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and about those three men that walked away from the jihad, and they thought that the ground was going to eat them. That's how bad they felt, that the ground was going to eat them. The ground is rejecting them. And they did not find, where Allah says in the Quran, أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. They did not find any resort except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. So Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted their repentance after they repented to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah named the whole surah, Surah At-Tawbah. The whole surah because of one verse. Surah At-Tawbah doesn't talk about Tawbah except in one verse about those three men. The rest it talks about jihad. And it's the only surah that does not start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the repentance from anyone, no matter what he done, no matter what he committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still accepts his repentance. And for those ones that were non-Muslims and they turned back to the religion, for those ones that were non-Muslims and they become Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna al-Islam yahdi ma qabla. that Islam destroys everything behind it. That if someone was a non-Muslim and becomes a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just start a new page with him. And that's why Amr ibn As, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Medina, and he came to put his hands in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, "O Prophet Allah, ij'alni ubayyu'aka 'ala al-Islam, O Prophet Allah, accept from me to put my hands in your hands and give you the pledge of me becoming a Muslim." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his hand out, and Amr ibn As came to put his hands in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he took it away and said, "O Prophet Allah, but I've committed so much sins. It's enough that I've killed a lot of Muslims in the battlefield." So the Prophet ﷺ tells him, O Amr ibn As, don't worry. Islam just destroys everything behind it. And Amr ibn As got so happy and put his hands in the hands of the Prophet ﷺ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the sins of Amr and forgave the sins of Khad ibn Walid. Khad ibn Walid, how many Muslims did he kill? And then when he turned to Islam, the Prophet ﷺ told him, "Ya Khalid, inna al-Islam yajubba ma qabla." The Islam forgives all the sins. Islam, by you becoming a Muslim, Allah forgives all your sins. And inshallah, like concerning this topic, please just restrict the questions on the Tawbah. Inshallah, we'll leave the other questions on Thursday night. And if you've got any questions concerning Tawbah, because I can't remember all the all the masail, all the questions of Tawbah, this and that. For you, remind me while you're having a question, maybe you've experienced something that others did not, or maybe your friend asked you something. For inshallah, we'll start with any brother, just put your hand up. And inshallah will answer the question, inshallah. If you do have a question. If you do, bikuna mniyah ma'adkum, bikuna ahsan. So, any brother for a question concerning the Tawbah topic? Because next week, inshallah, we'll start a new topic. Yes. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna Allah la yaghfir an yushraka bihi wa yaghfir ma duna dhalika liman yasha." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all the sins except associating someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is we call shirk. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in this Quran in two surah. One is Surah An-Nisa and the other one Surah Al-A'raf. Where Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Allah will not forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all the sins except associating someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if someone turns into Islam, Allah will forgive his sins. Like for example, Khadim wa Yada'a Abra'as, they were all mushrikeen. They were all used to worship idols. So they turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah forgave all the sins. But for you, okay, to associate someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and end up in the paradise, that's impossible. Allah Azza wa Jalla will never let any non-Muslim enter the paradise. No.
Good.
Yalla, anyway, came something to my mind. If someone does commit haram, does commit a crime and is taken to the Islamic judge, and the penalty, okay, for example, someone stole, they cut his hand, okay? That's not enough for him, for Allah Azza to forgive us. He's got to repent, okay? He's got to repent. And the main thing about Allah Azza to forgiving your sins, you have to repent. Even if a penalty is established on you, you have to also repent. Does that answer your question? brother. Okay, is it enough to make tawbah in the heart? It's got to be verbally. Tawbah is in the heart. Allah Azza wa Jalla looks at the heart. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila asamikum wa ila suwarikum, walakin yanzuru ila amalikum wa qulubikum. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your bodies and does not look at your pictures and your figures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your heart. Tawbah is all about in the heart. All the conditions of tawbah, all applies in the heart. Okay, leaving the sin, okay, applies from the outside, but what's going to make you more, what's going to push you to leave that sin is your heart. And feeling sorry is also in the heart. And promising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also in the heart. But it's all the time good to say istighfar. It's all the time good to say istighfar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I'm the Prophet of Allah and I repent to Allah 100 times a day. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I'm Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I ask forgiveness from Rabbil Alameen over 70 times. And 70 times means a lot. Over 70 times. So all the time istighfar. Another thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person that he commits a sin, then makes a wudu, then prays two rak'ah to Allah azza wa jal. Some scholars called it the rak'atain at-tawbah. But at least, if someone does fall into a sin, make wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that by you making wudu, a good wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes all the sins When you wash your face, all the sins that your eyes had committed. And when you wash your hands, all the sins that your hands had committed. And when you wash your feet, all the sins that your legs had, feet had committed. And when you wipe your ears, all the sins that your ears had committed. So all the time, when someone falls into a minor sin or any sin, all the time make wudu. But make sure you do a good wudu. Then pray to rak'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask forgiveness from Rabbil Alameen. Yes, brother. Yeah, return as much as you can. Whatever you could return, return. I've stole 100 grand off 20 people. Okay, and I've got probably $20,000. I'll return that $20,000. And if I could return that another $80,000 in the future, I'll return that $80,000. If I can't, then you ask more forgiveness from Rabbil Alameen. Brother, go for it. You have a lot of haram money. Haram money you can't keep, brother. Donate it fi sabilillah. Give it fi sabilillah. Hello, we deal with a lot of brothers like this, okay? And I'll do all the time. A lot of brothers, I've got haram money from drugs. I've got haram money from credit card rods. I've got haram money from this. I've got haram from number jobs, this and that. Okay. I told them, the best thing is we're not going to get hard at once. Akhi, donate bit, Bobby. You've got 100,000. Okay, put it from here to 6 months. That $10,000 is going to be taken out. Then the next 6 months, $15,000 is going to be taken out. Then I'll work on the other 6 months, another $5,000. You're going to take it a bit by bit. No one's asking a bank. Take it all out. Bit by bit. If you could do it at once, we'll be good. If you can't, then bit by bit, get rid of it. Brother Abdul Razak. Yeah, you could ask forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive my parents. Ya Allah, forgive my brother. You could ask forgiveness for someone else. Same. If you can't repent for someone else. Like, for example, if my brother Muhammad, he does something wrong, I can't repent for him. No. He's got to repent on his own. But I could ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. Brother Wissam. Hello, finish time. They're past. Okay, that's a very good question. Okay? Reminding or talking about your past. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to look down to someone that talks about his past. Like talking about the past, not in a good way. I mean, sometimes the Sahaba used to talk about their past by looking down and disgracing it. What a past. Sometimes people say, Wallah, in my times I used to do this, and I used to do that, I used to do this, and I used to take drugs, I used to sleep with 100 girls a night, I used to do that, I used to get clubbing, yani with pride. This guy, even if he said this, tell him your repentance is not, and it shows your repentance is not accepted. For someone to know that your repentance is accepted, you never say this. If you want to really see yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did accept your repentance, you never talk about your past with pride and happiness. If you do want to talk about your past, you cry when you mention your past. And it's better all the time to forget that past. Because all the time reminds you how you upset at Allah azza wa jal, and mashallah you had the heart to disobey Allah. Brother Azad. Okay, very good. Alhamdulillah, you did remind me about this, see? For someone, okay, I did not pray for 5 years. I did not pay zakat for 5 years. I did not fast for 5 years. I want to repent. Okay, part of your repentance that you have to make up these prayers. Part of your repentance, you have to make up those days you did not fast. As I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't ask you all at once. Start bit by bit. That's why if you're praying the sunnah after dhuhr, for example, leave the praying of the sunnah and start praying the fard. Pray at least after every fard, another fard. And it's going to take an extra 20 minutes a day. So don't find it too hard. And from 8 to 5 years, if you missed on 5 years, you've done 5 years. From 8 to 5 years, inshallah, you finish. From 8 to 10 years, if you missed on 10 years, you finish. Yani take it that way. If you die halfway, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive your sins because you had the intention and you practiced upon it. So for your prayer that you missed, it's a debt that you have to pay Allah back. For the prayer that you missed, it's a debt that you have to pay Allah Azza wa Jal back. That means you make it up. But as I said, no one is asking you to make it up all in one day. Stand, khalas, yallah, 24 hours. I'll do 150,000 prayers and I'll start praying. No one is asking you. Just do it bit by bit. Yeah. Hello. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynam huwa as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar. Ma al-farqu bayna al-mar'i al-muslim wa al-'abd al-kafir? Aw al-mar'i al-muslim wa al-'abd al-muslim wa al-mar'i al-kafir? Huwa as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The difference between us and the kuffar is the prayer. Who leaves the prayer becomes a kafir. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying he's 100% kafir. No. Okay, whoever doesn't pray is not 100% kafir, but it's the acts of the kuffar. Is the acts of the kuffar. Some scholars consider a person that does not pray as a full 100% kafir. But we've got the other hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith that Allah Azza wa Jalla had ordered 5 prayers a day. Whoever prays those 5 prayers a day and completes those 5 prayers a day, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make him enter the paradise. And whoever does not pray those 5 prayers a day, Allah Azza wa Jalla either will punish him or make him enter the paradise. If not praying when it makes you kafir, Allah will not let you enter the paradise, and the Prophet ﷺ will not say who let you enter the paradise. So not praying is acts of the kuffar. That's why if someone missed out on 1 or 2 years, start making up those prayers, and no one is telling you again to make them up all in one day, bit by bit. After every fard, pray another fard. Okay, I pray 2 rak'ah fajr, I pray another 2 rak'ah fajr from my past. I prayed 4 rak'ah dhuhr, I pray another 4 rak'ah dhuhr from my past. I've prayed for Raka'a Asr, I'll make up another 4 Raka'a Asr, and keep it like this until inshallah you finish. If you die halfway, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive you inshallah. No. If you done murder, ya Latif. Okay. Pay off his debt and ask that person at least if you can't forgive him for all the debts. Yani. And it's just more reduced from the debt, and it goes on like that. Type. And last questions. Yeah, brother. Yes. You still could repent. If I know, like committing adultery is haram, and I did commit adultery, can I repent? Yes, you can repent. Okay. Even if you know it's haram, okay. Of course, it's worse than someone that doesn't know it's haram. You can't compare that. Someone that doesn't know it's haram and falls into it, his repentance is easier than someone knows it's haram and he fell into it. Why? Because he knew that Allah Azza wa Jalla told him not to do it, and he had the guts to do it. He had the courage to do it, which makes Allah Azza wa Jalla more angry. But if he still repents, Allah will forgive him. And remember one thing, Ikhwani, that repent. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged to repent quickly. Don't let it go. Ra'isna ma'ak. repent quickly, all the time. Repent quickly before it's too late. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa taala will accept the repentance before the angel of death comes and takes your soul. Once the angel of death comes and takes your soul, there's no more repentance. That's why all the time quicken your repentance. You done that? Don't say to yourself, "Wallahi, inshallah, I'll repent at that day. This day, khalas. Inshallah, I'm still a teenager. I have fun. Once I finish, I repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, you've got so much hopes on living more. Wallah al-Azim, I had a friend that was talking to you. One of our friends talking to him about religion. I was talking to him about religion. He's from our age, you know, in the early 20s. And subhanAllah, he said, I'm still a teenager. Once I grow up, I go back to Allah. He said, this at dhuhr, we prayed on him at asr. SubhanAllah, you don't know when you're going to die. So all the time, quicken your repentance. Go back quickly to Allah. And Allah said this in the Quran, that the tawbah is not for those ones while they're dying. While you're sitting back, you see death coming to you. Khalas, I repent back to Allah. Allah doesn't accept that repentance. Fir'aun was dying. He was drowning in the middle of the sea. And then he said, Al-an amantu bima amanat bihi banu Israel. Now I'll become a believer the way Banu Israel became believers. Allah did not accept from him. It's a moment, stages of death. Once you're in the state of death, Allah doesn't accept repentance. Brother Tariq. Okay, going to Hajj is also not enough. You have to also repent. You have to also repent. A lot of people say, Khalas Allah, inshallah, I'll do this and do that. Inshallah, when we get to Hajj, we'll come back clean. Not coming back clean. I'm to dhahak ala Allah. Yani you're making fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're saying, inshallah, I'll do this until we get to Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive you sins even if you just do those practices. Allah wants to see the heart. Allah has said, I'm not going to look at you going around. I'm going to look at your heart. If you repent and go to Hajj, Allah will forgive you. If you're just going to go to Hajj like that and not repent, Allah's not going to forgive you. Allah will reward you for these acts. He's not going to just throw on the side. But it's not. Don't think Allah's just going to forgive your sins like that. You have to repent sincerely from your heart. No. Okay, if you don't cry, okay, crying is not part of repentance. Okay, it's just inside, as we said. Crying is from the outside. Mainly inside. You feel sorry, you feel guilty, you cry from the inside. If no tears come from the outside, doesn't matter. But mainly it's inside. Okay, you've got half haram money, half haram, mixed 20%. Estimate how much haram. Just estimate, like, you've got to figure at least 20%, 30% and take that out. See the biggest figure. And to be more in a safe side, if you think it's 30, take out 35. If you think 40, take out 45. And give it to any Islamic organization, give it to any Islamic mosque, give it to any... And it'll be good. Like, I'll tell you something, a lot of the scholars said, like the interest money is haram money, like drug money is haram money. It's good if you go to a place like the skeleton next door, okay? Go to them and tell them, listen, build a toilet with this. Build a toilet with it, you know, because it's no barakah. Use it to build a toilet with it. That's a bit, now I'm saying serious, I'm saying yes, the haram money, it's better to use it in a disgraceful thing. Brother Rajab. Mecca bank, it's good. We'll talk about it later anyway. We're talking about repentance. Yeah. Brother. Well, that's what we said. If you repent to Allah, then you fall into the sin again. You did not repent at the first time. It's like, you know, like you did not repent. It wasn't repentance. You have to repent properly. Brother. Yalla, last question. Yalla. And I'll take from the brother here there. Do you cop sins for not praying the sunnah? You don't cop sins for not praying the sunnah, but Allah will ask you about it in the day of judgment. And it's narrated that you'll face the Prophet ﷺ in the day of judgment and you'll melt from shameful. No, it's not wajib to pray sunnah. He just said it's sunnah. It's called sunnah. How could we call it wajib at the same time? Like sunnah, okay? It's not compulsory to pray sunnah. Anyway, that's not the topic we're talking about. We're not repentance. You fuck it there. We'll talk about it on Thursday. Okay, repentance? But okay. Yeah. Okay, how do you make it? Okay, I'm at the age of 30. Okay, it's not going to be confusing for you, mashallah. Okay, it's going to be confusing for, not even for me, I'm only 24. Maybe for someone 30, 34, 35, maybe 40, maybe 50. Allah, I know a lot of people are 60 years old, and they don't know, you know, they probably never prayed in their lives. You just estimate, all the time estimate, and be in a safe side and increase. Like, put in your mind, okay, I'm 30 years old, I probably didn't pray 10 years. Okay, I make it 11 years to be in a safe side. There you go, and increase, okay? Questions on repentance before we close the topic? Okay. No. Okay. On the repentance. Okay. So ask me that question on Thursday, inshallah. Okay, Lina, I wanted to keep this topic about repentance. Okay? I'm gonna charge you for all these questions. Sure. Yeah, that's repentance. That's repentance, yeah. Well, that's why I said, brother, take it step by step. Then get into it. Start praying. Then okay, I've got someone who doesn't pray. Never approach him and tell him, brother, start praying and make up the prayers behind you and you haram money and you this and you that. No. Tell him, start praying. Wallah, you know how many brothers I've got to the mosque? I used to tell him, yeah, start praying once a day, twice a day, three times. Start coming to the mosque. A lot of people used to tell me, just come Monday nights and Thursday nights, then come to the mosque. And slowly they start to come Monday nights and Thursday nights. Then they start to pray once a day, then three times, then four, five. Then alhamdulillah, they start to bring other people to pray. Slowly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come down with his orders and say, yalla, start praying, start fasting. Prayer came 8 years after Islam. Fasting came 14 years after Islam. Zakat came 15 years after Islam. Abstaining away from the wine came 15 years after Islam. Wearing the hijab came 14 years after Islam. Slowly, bit by bit. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una qawla fayattabi'una ahsana. Inshallah, I remind the brothers that anyone in need of learning how to pray or fresh their memories about prayer, come Wednesday after Salat al-Isha. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam. Allahumma adina wa adibina wa ja'alna sababan liman itada. اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفرة والملحدين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير ومن أراد بهم غير ذلك فخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. And for the brothers, يعني their questions, if it wasn't concerning this topic, inshallah, just write it on a paper, inshallah, bring it on Thursday, we'll answer it, inshallah. Yeah.